This morning's scripture is from the 10th chapter of John. Just going to give you a minute to grab that. Okay. So we will be reading from John, Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the pen by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will go in, they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I like this scripture, and it touches my heart in many ways, but another way it also gives me a bit of a question. Because, when was the last time you spent time with sheep? It's something that doesn't come up in our normal understandings. And because of that, I tried to find another analogy that worked. And what I thought about was, instead of a shepherd, maybe a cowboy. Because while we don't do a lot of the ranching either, we do watch TV and we see cowboys on TV. So maybe that would work, but I started thinking about it. And there are serious differences. The cowboy does gather the cattle together. He does take the cattle from one place to the other. If there are coyotes or jackals or whatever, the cowboy chases them away, even as the shepherd chases away the wolves and lions and whatever else come for the sheep. But there's a disconnect there. What is the cowboy driving the cattle to? Slaughter. And who is the shepherd driving the sheep to? The shearer. Once the wool is taken, the sheep are still alive. You never seen cowboy shows where the cow has a cowboy with his arm around him, gently guiding him, talking to him, bringing him home. And yet you often see the picture of the shepherd with the sheep or the lamb over his shoulders, and he's bringing it in. The cowboy does not have a personal relationship with the cows. They're just driving the cows where the cows need to go. So I'm actually kind of happy that God didn't say Jesus is the good cowboy. So the thing is that cows and sheep are much different as well. You know, one of the things that we don't know because we don't follow is that sheep are stupid. And I think because we don't understand how stupid sheep really are, we don't understand the 23rd Psalm. He leads me to green pastures. You know why a pasture is important? It has edges. Once you're in the pasture, the shepherd can see the perimeter. He can see there's no wolves. He can see there's nothing to endanger them. He can see all the sheep and he can take care of them. If you just leave a sheep to its own devices, it will nibble its way lost every time. One blade of grass, another blade of grass, another blade of grass, right off into the thicket, where they can become entangled and stuck and they can't get out. Not that that would ever happen to human beings, that we would just gradually go astray and get tangled and then not be able to get out, but I digress. Leads them to calm, still waters. Why is that important? Because sheep are stupid. They will wade in to the water. The water is too swift. They fall down. What happens when you put a large ball of wool in water? It gets really, really heavy. It can't get up and it drowns. So the shepherd, knowing what the sheep need, leads them into green pastures, leads them into still waters so they can get what it is they need while remaining safe. The sheep don't know that they need green pastures and still waters. They're more than happy to go into the scrubs and off into the brush. They're more than willing to go off into the river. They need someone to lead them in the right paths so they don't go into danger. So this is the image that we have of a savior, and it makes more sense if we know a little bit more about sheep. But I think what's important in this context is we have an understanding that the sheep don't know exactly what they need. They know what they want, and they go from this piece to this piece to this piece, chasing it across until they're lost. The sheep have a better, more abundant life because they don't do what they want to do. They go where the shepherd leads them. That is where I want to jump in. I don't know about you, but I have heard time and time again, I don't want to be a Christian. It's too depressing. Billy Joel said, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. Only the good die young. Actually, Billy, everybody dies. Many bad people die young. Many good people die young. But what I think is more important is sinners try harder to have fun, but I am not convinced that they actually have more fun. You can talk to a sinner on Friday night and they look like they're having a great time. Call them early Saturday morning and see how they're doing. The fun has disappeared. Their money is gone. Their mouth is dry. Their head hurts. And they're not sure what they're going to do next. But there truly is a phenomenon that Mother Teresa called sourpuss Christians. And they're so busy complaining about the way things should be that they can't enjoy the way things are. But if you ever see someone who's really walking with the Lord, there is a difference. And that difference has to do with grace. You see, we have a very good food pantry, but the secular world can do a food pantry. But the secular world does not offer grace. And many of the people who come through the food pantry need grace more than they need groceries. And that is where we come in. There's a story told in one of Max Lucado's books about a class in youth ministry, and they're going along, and the reading list is just so extensive that no one seems to be able to keep up. And everyone just keeps grasping at straws and doing the best they possibly can, and it goes on, and they come to the time where most of them need a good grade on the final or they're not going to make it. So they go into the final exam, and they said, it's going to be a little shorter exam than you're used to. What we're going to do is we're going to review first. And I'm going to give you a worksheet. And they started going through the worksheet and doing the review and talking about what's important and what was the nugget found in each reading. And as they come to the end, he says, okay. He says, review the briefing, and do you have any questions at all? Nobody had any questions. He says, okay, put it down. He says, you can now turn your papers over. And the paper that they turned over was an exact copy of the review they just went through. And he says, what you don't realize is the last book that you were reading was What's So Amazing About Grace. I've just given you an example of what's so amazing about grace. You're going to get a better grade than you deserve, but you're going to get a better grade because of grace. And that's what I wanted you to learn in the first place. Gordon MacDonald is a Christian writer, and he was the one who gave me the anecdote that there were two villages being built. One was being built by a church group, and one was being built by a group of workers, and for some reason there was always angst and conflict in one group, and there was always forgiveness in the other. He says, anyone can give you a house. It's grace that gives you a home. You see, I think what we've forgotten is what God gives us is not only what we want, but more importantly, what we need. I'd like to close with an anecdote from a book called Shadowlands by C.S. Lewis. And it is interesting to me because it really gives the understanding of abundant life better than anything. Out of compassion and grace, people from hell are put on a bus of some sort and are taken to heaven. And they get off the bus in heaven and they start to complain. The sun is too bright.
Period.
The grass is too hard.
Where's your mark?
The world is too loud. Can we get on the bus and go back to hell? This is just too much for us. And life was so vibrant and so real and so deep. That the residents of hell could not handle it. A life so abundant that you can't imagine it. I am told from an interview that the writer of the song I Can Only Imagine started his song after reading an anecdote from C.S. Lewis. I'm wondering if this was it. I can only imagine a life so abundant, so bright, so vibrant. We enter into communion of faith with all the loved ones that have gone before us. And I'm stuck with this idea that we want to know what heaven will be like. We want to say, well, I'm hoping that so-and-so meets me at the gate. I hope that there's dogs. I hope that there's running. I hope that there's music. I hope that there's singing. And God goes, that's mundane. He says, you have no idea what an abundant life I have planned for you. The blessings that I send you in this life are just a glimmer of the abundant life that is to come. Won't you follow me? I'm the good shepherd. I'll show you the green pastures. I'll find you the still waters. I'll bless you in ways you don't even know you need. And I'll give you an abundant life that you can't even imagine. Could you pray with me? Forgive us, Lord, when we want to chart the path and we want to take the wheel. Help us to understand that you know. That you know us, you know our deepest needs, you know them better than we do. That you don't want to deprive us, you want to bless us. You want to bless us with things we don't even know that we don't know. And that these are just a glimpse of a life to come. An abundant life filled with grace and love. Through your Holy Spirit and your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to trust in you and seek the voice of our shepherd. So that when he calls, we follow. We place our hope and trust in you. And we call on the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to...